scripture reading is from the first letter of John, chapter 4, verses 7 through 21, and I invite you again to hear the word of the Lord. John writes, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, 'I love God,' and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So every Advent, we focus on the themes of hope, peace, joy, and love. How those things came into our world in the birth of Christ 2,000 years ago, and how we are still waiting for the fullness of hope and peace and joy and love to come into this world and into our lives. And I don't know about you, but when I turn on the TV lately, or go online to news sites or social media, I don't see very much hope or peace, or joy, or love. I see a lot of despair, and anger, and fear, and hatred. And so what I want to do today, very simply, is look at what it means to love, and how we can live in love, how we can be agents of Christ's love in the world. And so first, it's good to remember that when we talk about love, we aren't just talking about a feeling or an emotion, something that exists in our heads or in our hearts. That's how the world around us kind of conditions us to think about love, that it's something that we feel, and especially that it's something romantic that we feel. But when Scripture talks about love, when Jesus talks about love, it's not just a feeling or emotion that exists inside of us, and it's not just this romantic idea of love. It's action. Love is about the things we do to care for one another. I always go back to Paul's words from the Corinthians that we've heard a lot this morning, where he says that love is patient and love is kind, and not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. And when he says all of these things, he's not just talking about feelings or emotions. Paul is talking about actions. He is talking about the things that we do. To love someone is to be patient with them, to act in ways that show them patience. It's to act in ways that are kind, going out of your way to do some small, unexpected gesture that shows someone they're important to you. You don't make them earn it or deserve it, you just do it. Love is not acting in ways that are envious when another person does well or boastful when you do well. It's acting in ways that show them you're happy for them and celebrating their successes with them. Love is not arrogant. It is acting toward each other in ways that are humble. Love does not insist on its own way, forcing people to look or think or act like we do, to do things the way we think they should be done. Love is acting in ways that give people the space they need to be who they are and accepting them that way. It doesn't mean that we have to agree with it, but it means we give them that space and we accept them regardless. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing. It doesn't look for opportunities to prove someone wrong or to say, "I told you so," celebrating when someone makes a mistake or throwing it back in their face. We love by rejoicing in the truth. We don't point out to people the things they've done wrong or the mistakes that they've made. We look for the good in them and in this situation, and we celebrate that. Love is about acting in ways that bear with people, hanging in there with them, sticking by them, especially when it gets tough. Love is about believing people and believing in them, looking for the best in them and taking them at their word, not looking at them with skepticism or suspicion. Love is about hoping for people, praying for them, and desiring the best for them, asking God to bless them. Love is about never giving up on this other person, because love endures all things and love never ends. So love is about our actions, the things that we do, the ways that we are with each other. And the important thing to remember here is that it's not just with our friends and family, the people that we like or get along with. Jesus calls us to act in these ways toward the people we do not like, the people we do not agree with or get along with, the people who annoy us or drive us crazy, the person who has stickers on their car or posts things on social media that make you just want to scream at them. Jesus calls us to act in love toward our enemies, to be patient and kind and hopeful with our enemies, to pray for our enemies, to rejoice in truth with our enemies. Because when you do that, when you love like that, what you find is that you have no enemies. You have neighbors that you may disagree with, but they aren't your enemy. Now this love is very, very hard. And it seems increasingly rare, if not impossible, today. But that is the way that Jesus calls us to love. Author James Baldwin once said, "I use the word love not merely in the personal sense, but as a state of being." So not just as something that exists inside of him, but as a way of being in the world. Not, he says, in the infantile sense of being made happy, but in the tough and universal sense of quest and daring and growth. Loving each other like that, loving our enemies like this, is tough. It challenges us, but it leads us to growth. We grow more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, it is one thing to know that and to understand that. It is another thing entirely to do it, to live out that kind of love. So how do we live in love? It starts, I think it has to start, with knowing that we are loved. Letting ourselves be loved. We see this in our reading from Luke. When the angel tells Mary that she is pregnant, the angel says to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." That word for favor is the Greek word charis. It gets translated more commonly all throughout Scripture as grace. It's the word that gets used all over the New Testament when they're talking about the unconditional love of God. Love that does not have to be earned or deserved, but is freely and abundantly given. The angel is coming to Mary and saying, "Don't be afraid, Mary, because God loves you." And it is this knowledge of that love, Mary's ability to receive that love, that allows her to say, "Here am I, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Mary does not respond in fear. She responds in trust and humility because she knows that she is loved. And it's like this reading from 1 John says, love casts out fear. The ability to live in love begins with knowing that we are loved. A couple of weeks ago, Jen and I went to see the movie A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, where Tom Hanks plays Mr. Rogers, and there is this scene towards the end where Mr. Rogers is sitting in a restaurant with this reporter who's been doing a story on him. And this reporter has really been struggling. He's had a lot of challenges in his life, and struggling to be loved, struggling to love with his wife and his child and his father, all these places where he's been struggling to give and receive love. And there's a point they're talking about all of this, and Mr. Rogers says to him, "I want you to do something with me. I want you to close your eyes for 1 minute and just picture all of the people who loved you into being." And they're in a restaurant, so all these people around them are overhearing this, and they all start doing it too, picturing the people who loved them in such a way that it made them the people they are. And it is in that moment that this reporter realizes just how loved he is, and it begins to transform him, opens him up to loving other people. I want you to do that with me. Let's just close our eyes for 1 minute and picture all the people throughout your life who have loved you. The people who loved you into being. People in the past, people right now. All of the people, and even the animals. We're going to let animals come in here too. Who you have felt their love in such a way that it has made you the person you are. Just close your eyes and picture the people who love you. Open your eyes. You are so loved. God has put all these people in your life to show you in some small way the love that God has for you. And the ultimate expression of that love is that God didn't just send these people into our lives. God became one of us. God lived life with us in Jesus Christ and died on a cross to show us the love that God has for us. And like it says in 1 John, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. Because even though no one has ever seen God, when we love one another in this way, acting toward each other with patience and kindness and hope, it's like we see God in this other person, and they see God in us. We are able to live in love, John says, because God first loved us. What the world needs right now is not more righteous anger. We got enough of that. What the world needs now is love. People acting toward each other with patience and kindness and truth and hope. Because even though we may disagree, and even though we may drive each other crazy sometimes, we are all in this together. And we're all we've got. You are so loved by God and by all these other people. Remind yourself of that. Every morning when you wake up, picture them. Open yourself up to their love and let it be a reflection of God's love to you. And then do the best that you can to be the person that someone else pictures. Amen.